How you doing? My name's Dylan. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for sharing that. I related to that part in the beginning where you're talking about. Spiritual aspect of sponsorship. Usually when I'm, the only time I get disturbed is when I'm thinking of myself too much and I'm not giving myself away, giving myself to people, not in AA enough, you know. That's really the only time I think about drinking, you know. And then quickly through recognizing it and talking with my sponsor and being at meetings, I see it and it's like, now I can look at what I've been doing. I haven't been doing much AA and, you know, that's the answer right there. But, anyways, my sobriety date is January 26, 2019. I have a sponsor. I sponsor others. A home group. It's a commitment meeting on Monday nights. I just wanted to read a quick couple sentences from We Agnostics. Forced with alcoholic destruction, we soon become as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. Sometimes this was a tedious process. We hope no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. I don't know, with that, like, when I came in this time, I was in the greatest amount of pain, the deepest hole. I just had no other way to go. And didn't know where to turn, you know? And it didn't start like that. I spent years of going in and out of treatment centers, detoxes, quote unquote, trying to get sober, you know? And I just hadn't met my threshold yet. I always thought there was another way out. I thought there was a third door, you know? Either drink an alcoholic death or do AA, you know? There's nothing else, you know? You know, so that's kind of where it was. But I grew up in Massachusetts. I had a good upbringing, you could say. Parents that loved me and gave me anything they could to try and support me. Got an older brother who's 2 years older than me. I looked up to him my whole life. Younger sister. When we were younger, I kind of tormented her, you know, and I don't know, before high school, before I became closer with my brother, kind of did the same to him too. You know, I always chased chaos from the very beginning. I always wanted to start it, be in the middle of it. Whose skin can I get under? You know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's kind of weird because, like, you know, when I was younger, I was a shy kid too. Going to school, like, you know, never felt, like, comfortable in my own skin. You know, hard making friends. But when I'm with people I know, you know, I just wanted to be a dirtbag, you know, asshole. It was good growing up. At a young age, I started playing hockey, and that was, like, for a long time, that became my identity, and that's, like, what I did. I was just, like, naturally good at it, and with me, I second-guess myself on a lot of things, second-guess what I say, socially awkward, and none of that stuff came into play, and I could just do it, you know. I don't know, the first time my drinking career started when I was freshman in high school. This was when me and my brother were closer now. Like I said, he was a couple years older than me. I was a freshman in high school, so he could drive. I was better hanging out with older kids, and with that, like, you know, I get introduced to some things a lot quicker than normal. And my drinking started by myself. It was like I think we had a half day or something like that, and I had somebody, you know, an older friend, get me a bottle, and I was at home, and I drank the bottle by myself, and my parents came home after work, and I hit it. And, you know, that feeling that I got from it, though, was something I've never felt before. You know, it immediately changed the way I felt. I felt free. I don't know, like, I used to describe being drunk as, like, life in high def. Like, it just felt better. It looked better. It seemed better. And from that point on, you know, maybe not right in the beginning, but from that point on is that's what I was trying to chase. And, you know, in the beginning, being, 14, 15 years old, like it was a little bit difficult to, you know, to obtain some alcohol. But being with older people a lot, older people in high school, it became a lot easier. The manipulation of where I was going to be, where I was, the lies, that started to come easier. And I just kind of got good at it, you know. I do remember when I started drinking, like I looked up to my brother, I still do. But he was against drugs and all that kind of stuff, and I told myself that I'd never smoke pot, I'd never do drugs, like anything like that. And as high school progressed, it wasn't just drinking that I was doing. I was getting into extracurricular activities, and slowly but surely I started dropping, the morals I would set for myself, and it just didn't matter. I don't think I've ever really just enjoyed having a drink, I enjoyed getting obliterated and changing the way I felt and getting as fucked up as possible. That's what I enjoyed. So every time I drank, that's what I did. And, it soon became not enough. And, I turned to other things and to enhance my drinking and kind of went from there. But yeah, it's just it's a slippery slope. Like once I got started, I could never stop, and then like throughout high school, I don't know, like I was good at school. I hated school, but I was okay at it. Like, I got good grades and I just like kind of floated by, I was good at hockey and basically like what I thought I was doing was fun. And as long as like nothing got in the way of that, there's no problem with what I'm doing, and definitely before I left high school, I wouldn't say I was drinking every day, but I was doing something to change my mindset every day. And whether that be skipping the first couple classes and getting drunk with a couple buddies, or not even going to school at all, or going to the lake after school, in one capacity or another, it turned into like an everyday thing, but again, like looking back on it now, I can see where it started, but in the moment, like again, I just thought I was having fun, I was doing what my friends were doing, there's no issues with it, right? I didn't really have any consequences. Like, there was a couple times in high school that I got arrested for possession of alcohol. They may have came like on a 5-week stretch, but I played the card of like, I'm a good kid. Like this, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. One of the times my brother was a freshman in college. He was home for summer, and so I blamed it on him. Like, it was his car. Whatever I needed to do to get the eyes off myself and like be able to have the chance to kind of drink the way I wanted to drink and not have to answer any questions and kind of just have people leave me alone. So I don't know. It didn't get terrible in the beginning. There was like when after I graduated, the summer after I graduated, I was in a pretty bad car accident. I didn't have my license at the time. I was suspended for speeding, but so my buddy, who I was good friends with throughout high school, who introduced me to a lot of stuff, was driving with me and his girlfriend, and we were leaving a party right after we graduated, and kind of long story short, they were yelling at each other while he was driving. He was going faster and faster, and on like a backwoodsy road up in Mass, speed limit was 30, but they estimated us at like 90 miles an hour. Hit a telephone pole, flipped over in the woods. Like, she was in the hospital for 9 months. He went to jail. I didn't break a bone. You know, I woke up on the, you know, the car was on its roof. I just woke up, opened the door, and was like, I'm okay, you know? And I don't know, I remember laying in the hospital bed that night, too. You know, my parents were there. I was crying, like, I'm so sorry, you know, all this, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, saying out loud verbally, like, I'm never going to drink again. I'm never going to drink again. Like, this is awful. I'm sorry I put you guys through this, you know, all that kind of stuff. And a week later, I was drinking and driving myself, you know. And it was also, like, the mindset of, like, well, if I can survive this, like, nothing worse can happen, you know. And it was just, like, fuel for the fire. And I don't know, it didn't change my mind at all. It didn't play into effect. And, you know, it was a terrible thing that happened. And I don't speak to him anymore or anything like that. But you know, even severe consequences like that, like, didn't have any impact on my drinking, you know. After high school, I took 2 years off from school to play junior hockey. And so I could play in college. And during those 2 years, I didn't take any, like, classes or anything like that. I just worked part-time and played hockey. And all the free time we had, we would drink together because we had no friends. All our friends went off to school, so it was just us group of guys, you know. And that's, like, pretty much all we had to do. A lot of the guys were from out of state, from Canada, all that kind of stuff. So it was just a small group of us. And, again, I'm doing what everyone else is doing. I'm having fun. There's nothing wrong with this, right? But this is the time that I can look back on and see, like, I was actually drinking alcoholically on a daily basis. You know, I'm 19 years old, and I'm sitting in my basement drinking a couple pints by myself on a Tuesday night, you know, and waking up and going to practice and not, like, seeing anything wrong with that, you know. This is also the time where I started to kind of blow some opportunities and be okay with it. I don't know, like, I had multiple coaches, like, reach out to me and just flat out tell me to stop drinking, you know, like, I'm ruining my future, like, all this kind of stuff. And I didn't take, you know, it went in one ear out the other. I didn't listen to it. I didn't think anything was wrong with it. And, you know, I continued doing what I was doing. And, you know, I saw a lot of opportunities slip away. And I settled for, you know, I settled on something else. I still played in college, but not to where I probably could have, you know. I chose the drinking and the party life and the friends over, you know, kind of pursuing the career and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's, like I said, that was like the first time I realized that I was doing that. And, you know, it got worse from there too. I did go to college, played there, and when I got to college, it was like my first year or two, well, I can say my first 2 years were kind of normal. You know, I was serious about what we had to do. The athletics, you know, I was obviously paying for this, and I was, I guess you could say, invested in the classes and stuff like that. But I would say, like, those first 2 years when I was 21 and 22 weren't that bad. You know, I would drink with everybody else. I would party with everyone else. But during the week, I kind of behaved myself a little bit, you know. And the first 2 years of college, I played every single game, you know. And come after my sophomore year, that's where it went downhill a lot quicker than it needed to. And you know, I my drinking progressed every day. I didn't really care too much for school at this point, and you know, this, I kind of got into some stuff too that it was very hard to turn away from. And you know, kind of mixed all together, it didn't really play out well. So like, in terms of like athletics and hockey, my junior year I played 6 games, and then my senior year I wasn't even on the team. And so, like, that's just, like, the progression of, like, my dreams and all that kind of stuff that I had for myself growing up, you know, start slipping away 18, 19 years old. And then when I actually do go and do something, I just don't care about it anymore either. You know, I can say that for a lot of stuff, and not just that, school, work, you know, countless jobs where I got a job and I thought I really wanted to do well and I really wanted to try my hardest and I really wanted to show these people, like, you know, I'm a good employee and I can do this and, you know, I can go above and beyond, and slowly but surely it got in the way. You know, it didn't suit my schedule anymore. It just didn't work for me, you know. I couldn't hide it as good, and it left. I fucking ran away from it, or I quit, or I just didn't show up. You know, all the stuff that we do. And I got introduced to AA and treatment centers when I was 22. I was still in college. And I went to my first detox because I just couldn't stop drinking, and I didn't know what else to do. I remember waking up that morning. You know, every day was a struggle to wake up. Didn't know where I was gonna, how I was gonna drink, what I was gonna do, who I was gonna lie to. It was just an endless cycle over and over again. And I think that morning I just broke, and it was the first time I reached out for help. I called my parents, I called my mom, and you know, and I got into a medical detox. It was like 5 days long, and then they sent me on my way. It wasn't AA oriented, 12-step oriented. It was just a strict detox, and it definitely didn't do me any good, because it kind of like taught me how I could do it myself. So now when I run into this again, I don't have to ask for help from anybody, you know, or I can just change up my procedures and, you know, only drink for like 3 days in a row instead of seven, you know, and not drink in the morning, or all that stuff that's listed in More About Alcoholism. You know, that was my plan at the time. Didn't last, but, you know, so I got back to right where I was. And, you know, after graduation, I took a job in South Carolina, and I tried the whole geographical change. You know, if I just got away from the people I was hanging out with, if I just got out of the places I was hanging out at, you know, if I just started new in a brand new place, things would be fine. You know, so I'd never been to South Carolina before, never lived there. Moved in with my cousin, and within a week, I was drinking the same way. I was doing extracurricular activities like I was doing back home. You know, nothing changed. And I think that time lasted about 5.5 months until I had a couple alcoholic seizures at work, and, you know, was strictly asked to not come back. And basically, like, I fled home to Mass. And for the next couple of years, probably the, I don't know, two terrible years, very painful, but it was all because of, like, what I was doing. I don't know, I kind of spent, like, time in detox every month. I would go on, like, this cycle. I'd live out of a backpack. I'd stay at one place for 2 or 3 weeks, get bad, can't stop drinking, let me go to detox. You know, I need a place to stay. I need some money to hit. You know, I went to all these places, and, like, my parents, specifically my mother, was trying to do all this stuff for me to help, you know, get me the help I needed, when in fact, like, I didn't want any help. I didn't want to get sober. I just, like, wanted people to leave me alone, so I could do what I wanted to do. I had no desire to get sober. I didn't know being sober was a possibility. You know, I just thought that, like, God makes alcoholics and drug addicts, and, like, I'm one of them, and why can't you guys accept that? And once you do, like, you'll be fine, you know? I've accepted it, you know, you should too. You know, and I said that to my aunt when I was laying in a hospital bed one time too, and my mom was in the hallway crying, and my aunt's like, why are you doing this to your family? Why are you doing this? I'm like, and, you know, and I said that to her. I was like, because this is who I am, you know? There's no other way. I know that time kind of ended with my family wanted to stop watching me kill myself in front of them. I was given a plane ticket and a bag of clothes, and I was sent down here to Florida over in Orlando to go to a sober house. This is really the first time I was introduced to meetings and sponsors and all this kind of stuff. For whatever reason, I didn't want to be homeless in Florida, in Orlando. I was tired. I was just kind of sick of it, and I needed a break. And so I gave this sober house a shot, and I took their checklist of stuff they told me to do every day, and I did it. And I stayed sober for 86 days. I can't really, like, I had a sponsor at the time. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, though, and nor was I trying. Like I said, I was just going through the motions and checking the boxes. And, I ended up relapsing after those 86 days. And I went back to treatment, the facility that they were affiliated with, and for a couple weeks, and was thankfully asked, like, I was able to come back. And I don't know, when I came back, like, I really wanted to, this was the first time I can look back on and actually say that, like, I really wanted to try and stay sober. And, for the first 2 or 3 months, like, I did everything AA, I did all the fellowship, everything that the house wanted me to do, everything my sponsor wanted me to do, reaching out and helping new guys that came to the house, like, all this stuff. And I don't know, after like 3 months, I basically said thank you to AA, and, I got it from here. My life is good. My family's talking to me again. I have a job. I'm paying for a car. This life is great. This is what happiness is. This is what it's supposed to be. But yet at the same time, like, I'm still stealing money from work. I'm still manipulating people. I'm still, like, lying on my meeting sheets. And I'm doing all this stuff that I used to do. I'm just physically not drinking. I was still a terrible person. And the only reason I stayed sober for a while was because of that sober house. There's no other reason. And the second I left there, I actually decided, at 27 years old, I decided to join the Army. And I guess I was searching for something, like, bigger than me, and I wanted to feel pride and all this kind of stuff because I never felt it before, or I gave away all these other opportunities, whatever it was. But I left for the Army, and I was sober when I left, and it was in October, and I had Christmas break from boot camp, and I came back, and I remember I had like 2 weeks off, and it was probably a week into the break, and I had this thought of, like, I've been sober for like 14 months now, like, I can enjoy a drink, like, I'm going back to boot camp, like, I'm doing the shit, right? And so, like, I got a bottle of whiskey, and halfway down that whiskey, I was in downtown Orlando, doing other shit and turning into a terrible night, and it was just like that. It's like, I can't just have one drink or just think I can enjoy one drink. It's just, for me, it's just not going to happen. And, like, sure, like, nothing bad happened at that time because, like, I went back, I went back to base and all that stuff. And, nothing bad happened from it, right? So when I left boot camp to go to my duty station, I was stationed in Colorado, and kind of long story short, like, right when I got there, I picked up right where I left off years ago, and it got worse than it had ever gotten before. It got darker than it had ever gotten before, and they politely asked me to leave after, like, a year and a half. They didn't like the stuff I was doing. I don't really blame them, but... So in January 2019 is when I finally got out, and my parents had retired down here to Tampa when I was there. So again, I just ran home to my parents. I had nowhere to go. I had no money. I had a car full of clothes, and that was it, And so I moved here with a plan of, like, getting my old job back, detoxing myself, getting in contact with my old buddies who used to be in AA. Maybe they are still. I don't know. But I didn't really have anything planned out, and within, like, I don't know, 18 hours, I was on the phone with treatment centers just because I couldn't take it anymore, and I got into Riverside 2 days after I got back, and I don't know, when I went there, being in the intake room, it was just different. It was different for me. Like, I wasn't on free insurance anymore. I wasn't on my parents' insurance. Like, I was in the deepest, darkest hole I've ever been in. Whatever it was, like, I always reflect back and try and, like, pinpoint, like, what made me change or what made me want to do it, and I really can't. It was just that desperation, that pain. I just didn't want to feel it anymore, you know? And I mean, Riverside's not different than any of the other fucking treatment centers I went to. They're all the same, you know? It doesn't matter. They only work if I want them to work, you know? And the other ones I went to, that I didn't want them to work and they didn't work, you know? But when I was at Riverside, I did the things that they told me to do. You know, I got with this tech, and you know, he told me, you know, to do these things at the meetings that I was able to go to. And the first meeting I went to was a speaker meeting, and some guy did the chips, and he had a fucking smile on his face. And I went up to him after and talked to him and asked him to be my sponsor. Strictly on the, he didn't speak or anything like that. He was just smiling. He looked happy. You know, at the time, that's all I wanted. You know. And I got his phone number, and he had me do some weird things when I was in treatment, like call people I've never met before, you know, and didn't tell me why. But you know, I did them. I did them, and I didn't ask questions. I asked why, but he wouldn't tell me, you know. You know, I soon learned that, like, me calling two or three guys every day before I called my sponsor, I was building relationships within AA. And it wasn't just relationships with people that were in treatment with me. It was people that had been sober for a while, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 25 years, like all this kind of stuff. And me, have never lived in Tampa before. I didn't know anybody, you know? So like when I got out of treatment and went to the sober house like they suggested, I already knew people in meetings. You know, I already knew guys, and I was already on talking basis with them. And it wasn't me coming out of treatment and going to a meeting and just like, you know, being so overwhelmed by 75 people and this weird thing. Like, I had two or three guys that hey, you want to meet me at this meeting? And they'd invite me to meetings and all that kind of stuff. So it was really good for like the introduction and almost feeling comfortable right off the bat, you know? I don't know, when I was at the sober house, like, I can say I did a lot of the stuff that my sponsor suggested that I did. Did a lot of stuff that he suggested I didn't do as well, you know. But working through the steps with him, like, it was the first time that it was pointed out to me. Like, I knew I drank alcoholically, I knew I was an alcoholic, but I didn't understand that unmanageability part, you know. And I didn't know that normal people, like, just didn't show up to work because they drank too much, or I didn't know that, like, nobody took extended lunch breaks and went to the liquor store and got drunk, didn't show up. Like, I just didn't know that the life I was living on my own terms was unmanageable. I just thought that, like, I got caught too much, or, you know, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, so, like, I know that's the first time that it was really pointed out to me. You know, and going through, like, steps 2 and 3, I didn't really, like, I grew up Catholic and all this kind of stuff, but I went because my parents made me go. I don't know, the only thing I believe was God made me an alcoholic, you know? I didn't know that he could help me. I didn't know that there was one. I just didn't know, you know? And the only thing that I was told by my sponsor was, you know, he asked me if I was willing to believe if he believes, you know? And I don't know, I guess I could look around the room and not see a room full of miserable people like me. Like, people had smiles on, and they were happy, they were hugging, they were, you know, conversating. I didn't do any of that, you know? You know, that's kind of where I started from, you know? But with, you know, like I kind of mentioned in the beginning too, it was pointed out when I was going through these steps, for a long time, I was trying to find that third door, you know. And with that, I mean, with AA, it's either AA or nothing. You know, I'm a firm believer of that. If I drink again, it's going to lead me to death. You know, I don't know if I'm going to come back here. I just don't know what's going to happen. You know, we see it a lot, relapsing and all that kind of stuff. I'm just past the point where I just don't. Drinking is suicide to me, you know, and I have to take AA as serious as possible, because there's no other options. You know, it's either do AA or live an alcohol, you know, die an alcoholic death. And I don't need to drink to die an alcoholic death either. Like, I can be miserable for the rest of my life and not drink. You know, I can be selfish, and I can lie, and I can cheat, and I can steal. I can do all these things, which don't make me feel good. And just because I'm not drinking doesn't mean it's okay, you know. And in step three as well, turning my will over, right? Like, it's a mental action. It's not a physical action. I can't physically do that, right? And I was actually earlier this week going over to step three with a sponsee, and we were talking about this. And, you know, the way I can describe it best is, you know, am I willing to change my perspective on things? You know, am I willing to take suggestions? And am I willing to do things that I wouldn't normally do? You know, am I willing to try something different? You know, because that's all it is to me. Like, sobriety is a lifestyle change. Like, I can't do the same things I was doing. I can't live the same way I was living and expect to stay sober. I have to change everything about myself if I want to stay away from a drink. And I have to stay close to this program if I don't want that drink in my life. But I don't know. I mean, sobriety's been a wild ride. Like, it's not always great. You know, over these past 5 or so years, like, there's definitely been some great times and there's definitely been some bad times, you know. But with the program and with working with others and reaching out to new guys and sponsoring guys and staying in the book and, you know, calling my sponsor on a regular basis and keeping commitments, I can do anything, you know. I can get through the hard times and I can enjoy the good times. You know, I can go to weddings and I can go to bachelor parties and I don't have to drink, you know. I can get a new job, I can leave a new job gracefully, you know, and I don't have to just, like, not show up. I started a business and, you know, all those fears that were, you know, connected to it, like, I was able to do it because I'm sober and I have a way of doing that, right? And I wouldn't be able to do any of those things or do any of the stuff that I've been doing today, or over the years, if it wasn't for AA, if it wasn't for the steps, if it wasn't for working a program and always being involved, you know. Like I said in the beginning, the only time that I get disturbed and the only time that I think about drinking is when I stray from the program. I think I'm going to stick around. So thanks for letting me share.